Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. This is a great story. It's a great retribution story against Trump. Trump had a White House aide named Omarosa Manigault. What a great name. Omarosa Manigault. What a great name. Omarosa Manigault. That was her name. That is her name. Omarosa Manigault was a White House aide with a lot of different duties, but one of the duties was to be a liaison to the Black community, the African-American community. She and Trump had a falling out. She quit. And she wrote a book. And in the book, it came out in 2018. It was titled Unhinged, by Trump. You should get it. It's a great book, Unhinged. And in, and quote, an insider's account of the Trump White House. That's the subtitle. Unhinged, an insider's account of the Trump White House. Came out in 2018. In the book, she said that she knew that Trump was fundamentally a, quote, racist and is in, quote, real and serious mental decline. Real and serious mental decline. Okay. She was an aide. Trump makes all of his aides, and frankly, all of his employees, sign non-disclosure agreements if they settle with them. And even if they don't, just non-disclosure in general, that they are prohibited from disclosing anything about their employment. And then he sues them. And a lot of these people, and he's done this before, can't afford a lawyer. They cave in. There's default judgments. And that's how he keeps silence among his employees. Omarosa Manigault didn't just bend over. She hired a lawyer. And one of the provisions in these non-disclosure agreements is that they be arbitrated as opposed to being taken to court. And that was a very serious mistake for Trump. Normally, companies like to do that because there are many, many professional arbitrators, and you know exactly from their prior decisions which way they lean. Try to pick one that's more on your side. But one of the things about arbitration, unlike a court case, is it can't be appealed. If an arbitrator comes in with an award, even if it's outlandish, it can really only be appealed to a court if there's fraud. And one of the examples of fraud would be that somebody bribed the arbitrator. Okay, that can be appealed. But just because the arbitrator is wrong on the law, or something's excessive, or blah, 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 the law is that it can't be appealed because judges like to encourage private resolution of disputes. They're overloaded anyway. And so they'll stick up for an arbitrator if somebody sues the arbitrator for a decision, no matter what. This arbitrator came out with a decision in favor of Omarosa Manigault and ordered Trump to pay $1.3 million in her legal fees. Trump has to pay Omarosa Manigault $1.3 million in legal fees because he brought an arbitration complaint against her for writing the book Unhinged in 2018. And what the arbitrator said is exactly correct. Here's what he said. The arbitration complaint alleged a breach of a 2016 confidentiality agreement that he makes all the staff sign, that Trump said was violated in the 2018 book Unhinged. But the arbitrator said that the agreement was vague, indefinite, void, and unenforceable. And he's exactly right. An arbitrator can virtually do whatever he wants unless he's bribed. And that isn't much of an exaggeration either. And this particular decision would have been the decision, in my view, of even a court who had looked at this thing where it could have been appealed. Trump has now threatened to appeal. He always appeals. This time around, if he goes to court, if I were the judge, I would not only uphold the award of $1.3 million against him for Omarosa Manigault's legal fees, but I would impose significant legal fees and fines for frivolous filing against him and his lawyer. So at last he got caught on this one because he was foolish enough to trap himself in a little side river of arbitration where the court system isn't going to help him out. The court system is not going to help him out. The other thing is confidentiality agreements and non-disclosure agreements and various restrictive covenants and all of this are increasingly disfavored in employment because employers historically have tried to tie up lower level employees with very unreasonable things and threaten them with the fear of litigation and lawyers' fees. Increasingly, that has been rejected by courts and by legislatures. In California right now, they have a prohibition against any restrictive covenant that somehow interferes with your right to work somewhere if you leave an employer. That's not what was at issue here. But under the First Amendment, Omarosa Manigault has a right to write a book. And when you have a non-disclosure agreement, or in this case, a confidentiality agreement, that just says you can't say anything bad about Trump, that is vague, it's indefinite, it's void, and it is unenforceable. She might have an obligation to be a whistleblower. So rather than do this sort of thing, I've got some advice to people, although Trump won't take it. Treat your employees well. Treat them nicely. Pay them fairly. Most people don't just leave and then stick a knife in you. Try to make them like you. And if they don't like you, that's fine. But if they're treated fairly, it's very, very unlikely they're going to do something like this. And if they do write something when you're known to be a fair employer, people will reject it. And quit. I mean, this guy, thin skin, this guy has no skin whatsoever. It's not just thin, it's non-existent. So somebody's on the way out, says he's a racist and in a real and serious mental decline. Okay. I mean, everybody claims, throws terms like that around. They throw them around on the mental thing about Biden. They're lying, of course. It comes with the territory. If you're a well-known person, people are going to say things. There's nothing factual in any of that. But he got himself trapped in a little rivulet, and he can't get out. So he's going to be paying $1.3 million. And then what happens is an arbitrator's award is not self-executing. You have to take that to court, convert it to a judgment. And then what you do is you docket it wherever Trump lives in his real estate. You go in to garnish whatever compensation he's getting. For a guy like that who says he's a billionaire, $1.3 million is small change. He'll pay it off. He paid off the $90 million settlement on Trump University where he defrauded a lot of people who had a dream of being a real estate magnate like him, gave them their life savings, and he stole it from them. Should have gone to jail for that one, frankly, but he didn't. So he paid that. He'll pay this thing. All he's succeeded in doing is selling her book. I mean, all he's succeeded in doing is people go, wow, if he's that worried about her book, there must be something there. I mean, if he's that worried about her book, there must be something there. So good for you, Omarosa Manigault. You stuck Trump. You nailed him for $1.3 million. Unfortunately, it's going to go to your lawyer. You should get something on your own. You should get a slice of some sort. Don't know if you'll get a slice, but you certainly deserved it. I want to get back to the so-called soft exclusionary sanctions against Russia. We have obviously arms shipments to Ukraine where Russians get killed in combat. Then you have economic sanctions where Russia gets slowly strangled economically. Goods disappear from the shelves. They can't pay debt service on their bonds. And do you know that right now Putin comes out and he goes, oh, this isn't hurting us at all. Mayor of Moscow said, there are now 200,000 people thrown out of work in Moscow, 200,000, because Western businesses have left and they have no jobs. And there are no Russian businesses around to hire them. They have to this is not going to stop a genocide. The genocide has to be stopped by military action. That has to be stopped by more arms going to Ukraine. Get the planes, you know, get more planes, get missile launchers, multi-missile launchers, get them, tanks, ammo, bomb the Russians. But in addition to economic and military support for Ukraine, in the case of Ukraine, we provide them with military, with financial support, and we sanction Russia. There's also the social ostracization. I talked about Wimbledon in the U.S. Open and the French Open. Talked about denying visas to any Russian performer, any Russian. You know, maybe if it's Navalny's brother, okay, you let him in. But the rest of these people, I'll tell you what, out they go just to put pressure on them. Well, Janet Yellen took it to another level. There is a preliminary meeting of the G20 going on in Washington, D.C. And Janet Yellen, our Secretary of the Treasury, very fine Secretary of the Treasury, and other finance ministers and central bank governors got up and walked out of the G20 meeting when the Russian Treasury Minister spoke on Zoom. Why is he speaking on Zoom when they're all there? Because he's sanctioned, he can't come to the United States, can't come to Europe. Gets off a plane, they'd throw him in the hoosegow. He deserves to be in the hoosegow. You know, look, this isn't a technological difficulty. I don't know why they don't block the Zoom. This is Washington, D.C. You say, you know, dog, we do not want you. Genocidal maniac Putin, sadist, we don't want you. Should have done that. Really should have done that. But the second best thing was suddenly his face shows up on the Zoom screen. Janet Yellen, finance ministers and central bank governors from the UK, from Australia and other countries, just get up and walk out. Let him know he's being ostracized. He's not welcome. He's a savage, a terror savage. He's in the service of a genocidal sadist. This is another way of doing it. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.